Amen. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you for a minute. I thought my wife was getting ready to sing. I mean, seriously, because I'd never seen her come up and grab a mic. Y'all have to understand. I was like, what? Thought it was something she was working on with y'all. It was a surprise. That's where I was going with it. I just said, man, I said, my wife in the scene, what? Yeah, well, it didn't turn out that way, so. Okay, well, all right. Anyway, I've never seen her grab a mic like that, but I thank God for turning a year older. I thank God for, you know, for the things that he has done in my life. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I wasn't saved all my life. Took me a little minute, but I got it. Amen. I got it. So I'm thankful for being saved and accepting Christ as my Savior. Amen. I know we celebrate our birthdays that, you know, that we are born into this world, but I also think we need to celebrate our born again, you know, birthdays that when we are born into Christ, you know, I think we need to recognize that and celebrate that as well. Amen. Amen. So thanks to everyone. And you know, Sister Tanya is right. I'm probably not going to eat that candy, but I do love the how the creativeness of how it was put together. Amen. That was wonderful. But as far as the candy, I probably won't need it, so you all could probably share with it. I'm sure you all have a sugar tooth. You don't mind. It's probably gonna, if I leave it there, I guarantee you some stuff going to come missing. And then when you ask the folks, did you take something? No, I ain't take that. I don't know what you're talking about. And watch them drop a little Skittles or something on the way out, or little Reese's Pieces or something. So people say they don't need it, but you see them smacking on it. What you talking about, Pastor? I don't need this. But truly, truly, thank you all. Amen. Thank you all for honoring and recognizing my day. I also noticed that, you know, women don't like for you to tell their age, but you see how it just rolled on out. Just came right on out. Just no hesitation at all. Didn't check with me. Didn't verify anything. No. Didn't wait for authorization or nothing. Just wham. Just came on. Just like, didn't even ask me. Okay, well, her birthday come up. She be looking. That's what I get. I be like, I wasn't going to say nothing. Well, if I get up here and start preaching, I mean, this stuff comes out. You blame it on the Holy Spirit. That gives you boldness. Can't get me. Spirit gives you boldness to make you say things. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. I bet not hear no leaves, tell me no pages or anything like that. I'm talking about Genesis chapter 1. I'm talking about you know better. I promise you, you better be there. There's always somebody that's got jokes. Genesis 1. Amen. Begin reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. I just want to stop there for a moment. There's going to be other scriptures that I'm going to reference, but you don't have to stand for that. You may be seated. Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, and to everyone in their respective places. I thank God for this opportunity to stand before you and to speak his word. Amen. Amen. Again, I say I don't take this lightly. One of the things I want you to look at while you're in Genesis chapter 1, if you look at verses 10 and verses 12, 18, 21, and 25, and then 31, you would see at the end, you would see that God saw that it was good. Amen. That's why I didn't want to go through all that. You would see that God saw that it was good. In other words, when God created, I mean, he stood back and looked and said, oh, man, that's good. And then he went to work again and he created. And then when he was done with that, he stood back and said, now that's good. And he kept doing that. But then when God got to mankind, he stood back and said, now that's very good. Amen. Notice how God put emphasis on that. I do realize that we all are familiar with this portion of scripture. After God created and looked at all that he did, he pronounced that it's good. And now God now has was in communion with his creation and what he has done. He pronounced it all good, and God was walking with Adam in the evening in the cool of the day. And then if you look at, I don't know if I gave the scripture, but Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, I want to show you something in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Amen. Y'all get that? So God basically, I guess you can kind of say that if there was something negative, that was kind of like a negative in a sense where God saw that it wasn't good for man to be left alone. So he created a helpmeet for Adam. So God diagnosed that that Adam needed some help, and Adam needed someone like himself who could come alongside of him and help him to accomplish the job that God has given him. So Eve, a woman, was created to help Adam to do the job God gave him. So we have a picture of a married couple serving together. Marriage is here being defined as two people who are now one that are serving God. And we need to understand and what the scripture means by helper. Just because Eve was under Adam's headship or authority, and I'm naming that, I'm saying that basically on the fact that he named her, okay? The term used in our text for helper does not mean that she's a subordinate person. It's obvious that he is infinitely greater because he gave her her name. But it doesn't mean that she is a doormat to him. If you look and see in verse 18, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he took a rib from Adam and he created Eve. Notice, God did not create another man for Adam. Adam needed more than another male's companionship. See, most churches are not going to preach on this part of the scripture because it really defines what God intended for the order to be. Y'all follow me? So you're not going to have a lot of churches. This is going to be a chapter that they're going to skip over. You know, my grandfather taught me at a very early age. He said, whenever you get off track and you want to, because he worked at the railroad, so he used those analogies of tracks. So he said, if you want to get people back on track, he said, take them back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. He said, because when you get off track, he said, you get them back on track by taking them back to the beginning of how the order was setting forth. Okay, so God didn't make another man. He made a woman for Adam because that was the only thing that was going to satisfy him. It wasn't going to be another man. And God knew that. So God said, ain't another man going to satisfy you. So I'm going to make you a woman. Just that simple. So sexuality is the result of the creative act of God. God intended it to be something beautiful and wholesome. Okay? Nothing wrong with it. God intended for it to be beautiful and wholesome. Male and female is in God's design. Amen? See, men are to be men and women are to be women. It is not the other way around. Men are not women and women are not men. It's bad when men try to be women and women try to be men. It's nasty. You cannot reproduce that way. That should be a clear revelation that anyone who changed their sexual nature and dynamics is wrong. How can they possibly become one flesh as God intended husband and wife to be? Because God took a bone from Adam and made Eve. He said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. They became one. See, when God created Eve, she was created with a purpose of making a positive difference in the world. Without the presence of Eve as a identity, even though as all was perfect in the world, God was able to say something here is not good. Adam, the perfect man, and yet he was missing something that was good. The good he was missing was Eve. Everything alive had been made from the dust and from the earth, but God desired to take creation to another level. He wanted a fantastic product, so God used some complicated parts to begin with. He put Adam to sleep and took a rib and flesh from him and started working on Eve. Eve is formed from the rib of Adam. Adam and Eve are of the same flesh and of the same bone. From the moment of creation, neither man nor woman can be complete without the other. When a man and a woman are working together, they form the basic unit of society that is called family. When a man and woman are together, they form a unit in society that's called family. I want you to remember that. Men and women's lives interlock completely in economic and social matters. Neither one can survive without the other. Okay? While Adam was asleep, God and Eve had some time together, as God prepared her for this historic moment. I wish to God that I could know what type of conversation they had, but obviously God didn't want us to know it. Otherwise, he would have put it in there. I know some pastor's going to say, oh, yeah, well, God gave it to me. He didn't give it to me, so I'm not going to exaggerate or try to, but I know that God did some talking with her. Amen? I can tell you that much. But they spent some time alone, and you can tell because Adam was asleep and Eve was created. So that we can come to a conclusion that they have been spending some time alone. But I want you all to notice something. I want you all to notice something here. So Eve had been created for glory and honor. There was something special about a woman from the very beginning of creation. Adam knew instinctively that he was to honor this woman. The same honor has been due to all Eve's descendants, because every woman has been created for glory and honor. There is a beauty all about yourself as a woman, because you were created in God's image with the purpose of bringing good into the life of others. Now, I want you to see something here. No sooner than they got married, okay, God brought them together. I want you to see how quickly the devil moves, okay? So let's just read some verses here, and then we're going to go to after. So if you look in verse 21 of chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Okay? Now, let me skip down and let me just go to chapter 3. If you see chapter 3, it said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye have God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden. Notice, okay, now they just got married, okay? They just came together. Notice how easy and quickly Satan moves into the marriage. It doesn't take long. When God puts something together, Satan is right there standing. And as soon as God, whatever God does, Satan wants to undo. It's just that simple. I can't see how people read and study the Bible and you can't find how the devil is trying to undo everything that God has put together. Anything that God has ordained, anything that God has put in place, Satan tries to undo it. It's just that simple. As soon as they got married, I mean, they ain't even off their honeymoon. Satan is already. Now, God didn't tell you. Y'all see what I'm saying? Already in the air. God didn't tell you this. Now, did he? I mean, now you're leaving question for doubt. What I'm trying to get you to understand is it doesn't take long for Satan to move in on the children of God. Doesn't take long. When God took from Adam's side, the first thing I want you to understand, there's three things he created. One, he created a woman. Okay? That's the first thing he created. We know nothing of Eve's physical appearance. Have you noticed the Bible doesn't really describe Eve? I've been through the chapters and we haven't got to the point where, okay, God, give us some description of her. I mean, you know, tell us how she look, you know, long hair, pretty, what? I mean, come on, eyes, I mean, come on. God didn't give us that. God didn't tell you she was short or tall. He didn't tell you what color her eyes was. He didn't tell you the length of her hair. A woman's glory is not defined by her appearance. See, we get caught up in that. But God didn't get caught up in all of that. The woman was beautiful because of whom God made her to be. So no matter what your complexion is, no matter what your size is, you created by God. Therefore, you are beautiful. Period. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. And I mean, you can even say it this way. Okay, if you don't like the word beautiful, then say fine. I mean, come on now. It's your word. Use it. If you want to use fine, you go ahead, use it. You say, I'm fine. God made me fine. Well, go ahead. Ain't nobody going to stop you. Not only did God create woman when he took from Adam's side, he also created a wife. Okay? He also created a wife. Eve was created to be more than a woman. She was designed to be a wife. In other words, a helpmate to Adam. So, now, being a helpmate, man, does not mean that she's beneath you. At times, a wife may be the stronger one. But at the other times, a wife may be the weaker one. There will be other times you are on the exact same level. Eve was a help suitable for Adam. That means Eve could rise to whatever level of help Adam needed for that particular situation. Isn't that something, man? Every time when God gave me that, I said, man, look out now. That means that woman can rise to, I know this ain't Mother's Day. I know it's next week, but this is the before the Mother's Day. You have to understand that, I mean, think about this for a moment. That woman can rise. God created her with the ability. Think about this for a moment. Let's just slow down without chewing. She has the ability God put inside of her to rise up to be whatever it is you need for that moment. Isn't that something? That's the ability that God has put in a woman. That is a beautiful thing. Because when you think about it, I'm stuck on the word rise to the occasion. So whatever occasion it is, inside of this woman, if she taps into what God has already planted inside of her, she has the ability to take that and rise to the occasion. God defined her as a helpmate. So women, let me say this to you. Men and women, yes, we are different. But these differences are designed by God to complement each other, to work together in such a way as to make them stronger and more effective together than if they were apart. So God took from Adam's side and created a woman, a wife, and the other thing he created was a mother. Not all women are mothers, but all mothers are women. Okay? Paul spoke about this. Remember Timothy, he was raised by his grandmother and his mother. It doesn't say anything about the daddy being anywhere around, but they raised him. In other words, they gave Timothy a good foundation. And a good foundation you can start with is being with the Lord. So they gave him a good, solid foundation that enabled him to be stable. Amen? And it gave him an unshakable foundation that they were able to raise him up on, which is a blessing when you can give somebody a good, solid foundation in the home and not some unstable foundation in being here and then being over here and being over there and being over. No, plant it in a sure foundation, not moving. You know what I'm saying? Unshakable. So the foundation laid by his godly mother and grandmother came into play. Again, don't know who his father was. The word of God is clear. His mother and grandmother trained him. So Timothy became one of the bishops of the New Testament. God created mothers to teach the children. In other words, plant the seed in them. You take the time to lay the foundation in your children, and they will likely develop a personal relationship with Jesus. Mothers, teach your children to respect you, to respect the Father, to respect God, and to respect the laws of the land. It is important that we understand this morning. When God created Eve, it was an exciting day in history. God created a woman, a wife, and a mother, all in three. Amen? I mean, that's three in one, right? Don't that remind you of the of God? That's three in one. So you have been designed by God that you are able to be a help in many different ways and situations. Even if there's not an Adam in your life, that does not reduce the glory and honor God created for you, because you are still a help to someone. You can be a help to other women. You can be help to some children. Sometimes you can be help to the situation, or you can be a help to the church. And sometimes you can be a help to the people that are in need. God created that inside of you. Y'all always see, I see this a lot, when there's a baby, y'all always see the women gravitate towards those babies, man, because it's built inside of them. Y'all don't see, I don't say this in a disrespectful way, but you mostly see the women will gravitate towards that baby than you will see a man will, because inside of that woman is built that nourishment. You see what I'm saying? It's built that side of her to be there for that child. It's already in her to be there. And I'm going to say this. You know, it's one thing in playing with a baby, hee hee ha ha, you laughing with him, and then that ain't your child. So you can say, okay, go on back to your mama. That's fun. You know what I'm saying? You get them all ruffled up and everything, you know, give them candy, sugar them up, and send them on back to their parents. That's fun. That gives you that, ha, 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 I said they got a bunch of sugar in them. They ain't going to want to go to bed when they get home. That's funny in a sense. But I remember when my first child, you know, Jeremiah, he was born. And, okay, my wife was there. I was cool. She was there. Then when she left, when she had to go to work, I said, oh, Lord, help me today. I said, okay, what am I going to do? I said, Lord, help me today. He started crying. I wanted to call Sonya. He crying. Come get him. I'll take him to work with you. I mean, you had him for 9 months with you at work. Now, what's the difference now? I did. As my mind was going, I was like, hey, baby, you going to come get him? He crying. I'm going to tell y'all, when I don't know if my mom remember this, but I left, I think it was church. And man, because I picked, I know, you know, my aunt and uncle, they had them, and I put him in the car, and I pulled over about two or three times. He was in the back crying, trying to get out of the seat. And I was like, oh, what is going on? I ain't used to this. It was different for me. See, I didn't get that practice. I didn't get that, you know, when I say practice, what I mean by that is, if you notice the kids on the playground, you'll notice that the girls are more organized on the playground. They got this and that going on over here. Trust me, they know where the boys are. But they got this little organized things. And on the boys' side, you always have some chaotic stuff. You have a bunch of that stuff going on over there on the boys' side. What? But on the girls' side, you have this. But when you get a look on that boys' side, you think it's World War III. I promise you, it's chaotic like that. We're wired. We're different, you know. So God would not have created you, women, if he had not intended for you to be a help to the kingdom. So, and, you know, I like good movies, you know, especially ones that's got those mysteries, you know, they kind of keep you on the edge, you know, not something as soon as it come on, oh, I already know how this is going to end. Not those type of movies. I'm talking about the movie that keep you, oh, I thought it was her. Oh, man, now I'm messed up now. So I like those type of movies that keep you in suspense. So, I mean, I'm saying every now and then I like those type of movies. In other words, the mystery movies. In other words, I've grown to understand that a woman is a mystery. I've been married 7 years. I don't even know my wife. I don't know her. I can tell you her birthday. I can tell you all of that. But after that, I don't know her. That's bad. She's a mystery. Because what this means today, it don't mean this within the next minute. I just want to go somewhere. I just run out the house. I don't know what it means. But a woman is a mystery. Even with my mom, she's a mystery. When you think you got, I was like, oh, I didn't know you was going to come that way with it, but okay. Y'all can't change. Y'all can't, you shift too many gears. Oh, a 10-speed bike, you know, how many gears? I mean, come on. I'm not used to all these gears y'all have. That's too many gears for me. Slow down. I'm sorry, Brother Thomas. I mean, you just got married, man. I waited to preach this sermon until you said I do. I'm just messing with you, man. Yeah, he's scared. You're all right with me, man. You're all right. God made, listen to what I'm saying. God made men and women to be different. Male and female created he them. Amen. You heard that scripture verse before, right? At the beginning, God created man and woman. Men and women walk different. We talk different. We better. I'm telling you that right now. We better walk different. We talk different. We think different. Lord knows we think different. And even eat differently. Amen. You know, I mean, we do. We eat different. I mean, there's a couple of times, you know, I can go out with my wife, and before my wife, I went out with my cousin. And I'm going to tell you, you know, one. Let me start with my cousin first. We went out, and we ordered, and my cousin's sitting in front of me, and she took about two or three bites. And she said, I'm full. I ain't had a glass in her. I looked and said, you're full, huh? And she took two or three bites. I ate mine. I wanted to just grab hers and just, I'll tear that up too. But I ain't do that. What I'm saying is, you know, I did when I got married to my wife. She would do the same thing. She'd take a few little bites and she'd be just sitting there. And I'm sitting there going like, what, Lord, what the world is going on? They say they hungry, but they ain't eating. I don't understand. It's not making sense to me. You know, eat two or three bites, and you know, and then they were like, you know, wait to come out. I get something to go. Yeah, just give me. I'm sitting there. I'm ready to order dessert, but I don't want to be like that. You ain't eating. I mean, come on now. But needless to say, we're different. We're different. We're wired different. Men and women are motivated by different values and are affected by different emotions. Like, my wife tried to get me to cry on a book. That ain't gonna happen. She was in there, I mean, boo-hoo crying. And she was like, you gotta come here and read this. I kept it real, Mitch, 100. I was reading this, and I went through a couple of pages. And she's looking at me, and I'm keeping, she's like, keep reading. And I'm reading. I'm like, ain't a teardrop, ain't red. I mean, it was tucked all the way in the back of my head. It wasn't even near my eyeball. I read it, nothing. And she said, oh, man, such a boy. I was like, oh, it didn't, okay, I'm crying. It didn't affect me. But we are emotionally different. God wired us that way. A woman can probably cry the drop of a hat. Literally. You drop your hat, woman probably start crying. Oh, did you see Sister So and Mother So and So drop the hat today? And we're like, you kidding me, right? You kidding me? Okay? Now, I know some women say, well, my husband was crying when we watched the movie. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that man cried during that movie. I think you probably punched him or elbowed him, and he was in some pain, and he didn't want to get up off that couch, so he was crying for that, not because of that movie. We different in every cell of our bodies, everything. Men are often criticized for being driven in their work, yet men were created to work. If my wife, I hear it all the time. Boy, I can hear it. You going out there to play in the yard again? I'm not out there playing. I mean, I come in there sweating, drenched. I mean, my wife, you out there playing in the yard again? I'm dying of thirst. Can I get some water, baby? I'm making bricks without straw. And you, oh, baby, I'm getting ready to fall over. And she looking at me, I get my own Gatorade. She hard on a brother. And then I'm outside slaving, right? You know, and I looked at the neighbor. Her husband is out there slaving too. This is what I seen her do, come out the house. And her husband like this, oh, thank you. And then I was like this. And I realized I better stay in my own yard. My wife probably got some of those one of the electric fences around. As soon as you're going to just shock you. I'm just telling you, that's how I live. I'm just saying. But men are criticized because of the way we work. Men are given a mind and a body that enables us to work, and therefore, when we work, all we're doing is fulfilling the part of the thing that God has given us and He has created inside of us. So we are basically doing what we are created to do. Now, that's not to say that, you know, because, you know, become a workaholic. Amen. We still need to spend time with our family. We still need to spend time, you know, with them and do the things that, you know, you do as a family. But my point is, you know, we are made differently. Women see things differently. You know, like an example, you know, a woman would say, you need to get you a spare tire. And you don't get it. And she's been telling you to get the spare tire, but you don't get it. And then all of a sudden, there's a flat. Now, you wish you had got that spare tire when that woman said get it. That's that part of the woman that man literally fights. Because it's that thing that, okay, I can say, well, how did she say it? Amen? How did she say it? Did she say it? I'm going to give it to you plain. Did she say it nasty? Or did she say it as a true helpmate? Because if you say it nasty, you need to. No. Let's start over. Erase it. Start over. If you say, baby, all right, you're starting off on the right track. You need to get a tire. You know it's bad. It's going to dry rot. It's already dry rot. Let's just go on by here. Right, we right here. Passing on by. How you say it? I'm just saying. We must each uniquely listen to what I'm saying. We all need to adapt to our role. Amen? We need to adapt to our role. One very important reason that God made men and women so unlike each other is that man portrays Christ. And a woman portrays the church and divinely designed objective lessons. Y'all follow me? So we portray Christ and a woman portrays the church. God created us for a special purpose, yet that purpose was contaminated by sin. Since the days of Adam and Eve, many husbands and wives have longed for a perfect relationship. I'm here to tell you, as long as sin is here, you're not going to have a perfect relationship. Okay, let's just, I'm not saying that you can't strive for it, but I'm just saying it's not going to happen. There is no perfect relationship, okay? Although that doesn't mean, okay, since there's no perfect relationship, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sin is all around. Amen? So things can and will happen. But it's like, for example, I know that this is summertime. I know that them weeds are going to come up. Well, I got something for it. Amen? I put something out there to prevent them weeds from coming up. In other words, what I'm saying is God got something for sin. And it's called his word. Amen? So that's what I'm talking about. Just like I put that fertilizer, that weed block out there to keep that stuff, that bad stuff from coming up. This is what you need to do. Stay in the word to keep that bad stuff from coming in. Amen. So if Eve had a fully known God's word, she could have very easily kept Satan right where he was. But because she didn't know the word clearly, or she didn't get in, and my grandfather said, and all you're getting, get an understanding. So since she didn't get that understanding, therefore it allowed the devil to come in. Amen. So it didn't take long for Satan to draw a wedge in between the husband and the wife. Satan is already there, ready to do it. But there is hope. God has a plan. Through the sending of his son, Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, God has crushed the head of Satan, that serpent. And if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Amen. God created us to live an amazing life with him. He is generous. He is good. He gives good and perfect gift. When he created this world, he made a statement at the end of each day of creation. He appraised his own work. He said it's good. And at the end of the week, on the sixth day, he looked at Adam and Eve and said, it is very good. So I don't think God does anything mediocre, okay? I believe he was truly pleased with what he has done. So what was God's purpose in creating humans? Scripture tells us that there was an intimate relationship between God and humans in the beginning. God put Adam in the garden, and he would join Adam in the evening. There was, in other words, a close relationship between man and God. In other words, there was communion. Having purpose gives people life and energy. If you take away someone's purpose, all they have left is hopelessness. And that's all they have. Living with purpose is a fundamental element of God's original design. Many people in the world try to find their purpose apart from God, but they can't. They're trying to identify the significance of their lives. God gave us purpose in his act of creation, and we have to look at his original design in order to find our significance as created beings. That's why I say you got to go back to the beginning if you want to find out your original design. Okay? So once you find out your original design, you will understand and you will know that you are not an accident. God designed you with a purpose. God gave your life significance. God created you to live in the freedom, joy, beauty, and holiness of his design. However, if we look at our lives, the world, and our churches, we see that something went wrong. It seems like things aren't quite what God designed them to be. When we look at individual families, communities, nations, and churches, we see news that bring heartache and sorrow, murder, death, disease, famine, all of this type of stuff, divorce, and so forth. But this is not what God had in mind for the world to be like. In other words, God's plan, God has a plan for restoration. Something significant was lost. Adam and Eve, they lost a lot in the Garden of Eden. They lost a lot in the Garden of Eden. You know, but the one thing that I'm going to tell you that they came out with was that they were still married. You may lose a lot of things, but man, they came out with their marriage. They were still together. And I didn't quite understand that because my grandfather would always say this. He said, you know, if we lose a house, if we lose a job, if we lose this, he would always say to, you know, with his wife, are we still together? In other words, he was saying, if we're still together, we can make it. So we don't have to live defeated lives. We can live in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ as conquerors. We can experience fullness of life through him. We can advance God's kingdom. When Jesus saw people who didn't have a relationship with God, such as the tax collectors like Matthew or Zacchaeus, he gave them purpose and life. When he encountered people who were demonized, he set them free and restored their dignity. When he saw people living with the indignity, the leprosy, he didn't pass by them. He extended his compassion to them and restored what was lost. God has given us divinely powerful weapons so that we can live the life that Jesus lived. The life of Christ is molded best when it is lived out by a community like the church. God didn't design the church to stay within the four walls of the building. God wants the church to impact communities. The ministries of Jesus is going to spread out because God designed the church to advance. God is calling us, the church, to bring restoration to lost people. It's time for us to discern what's really happening, what's going on. We don't sit back and act like we don't know what's happening. This was preached. This was taught to us. We need to understand what's happening, that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to come. So it's time for us to show God's love and compassion to this broken world. It's time that we use the power he's given us to help the sinners to be set free. How can the church effectively present a message of hope when we are oppressed and suppressed by the enemy? How are we supposed to present life to a dying world when life is being stripped from us? God doesn't just want us to experience personal freedom. He wants to equip you to help others. He doesn't want us to simply to just feel better about ourselves. He wants us to advance his kingdom. People just want to come to church and just feel good about themselves. But what about advancing in the kingdom of God? Stop. Well, see, this is what happens when you live in this world. It makes you self-centered. Selfish. It makes you think about me, myself, and I. But God is saying, I need my kingdom advanced. If you do the advancement of the kingdom, God said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Why don't we be selfish? I don't understand. God wants our individual lives to be transformed. Y'all understand what I'm saying? In other words, you may come in one way, but you ain't going out the same way you came in. If I take my car to the car wash, it's going in dirty, but it's coming out clean. This is what the Lord wants the church to be like. He wants us to come in as you are. That's why I don't tell people to wear a suit. Your suit ain't going to get you into heaven. It may get you into some of these places here, but it ain't going to get you into heaven. Your soul's got to be right. I'm trying to preach to that soul, not to those clothes. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I ain't preaching to that suit. I'm preaching to the one that's in the suit. That's who I need to reach. Folks, when folks die, they were like, well, I don't want this pastor to preach. He don't know this person well enough. It doesn't matter if I know them. They dead. They ain't going to respond back to me. I don't have to know them. I'm preaching to people that can respond. I'm preaching to
I'm going to tell you, wherever this person is gone, they done. Whether it be heaven or whether it be hell, I'm telling you, they're there. I need to preach to the ones that are still walking above the ground. That's who I'm preaching to. It don't make no difference if I know you or not. All I need to know is the word of God. It's going to hit you one way or the other. It'll get you going and it'll get you coming. Adam and Eve, they were given a great garden of blessing, but they fell and were evicted from it. All hope was lost. God pledged to remedy their situation. As seen in Adam and Eve's hope for the Lord to provide a man who could lead the return to the garden. Centuries later, that nation of Israel repeated Adam's failure. Forgetting their covenant with God, and the Israelites fell again and were evicted from the blessing of the divine presence of Canaan. Again, hope was not lost, for the righteous remnant hope in the Father to send a man who will lead the people back to blessing. The man, the Lord Jesus Christ, did come. And even now, he is restoring his creation as God has promised. See, sometimes we don't see what God is doing. We don't see what God is doing. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't see everything that my parents was doing. But I understood that I received the benefit of what they were doing, what I didn't see. We need to understand that what we don't see is what's blessing the people of God. See, we get so hung up on we got to see it. But blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they believe. In Scripture, we see God's power. We see God's power of restoration countless times. When Jacob was finally reunited with his lost son, Joseph, he described the grief-filled days of his life as few and evil. But in his last days, through God's mercy, Jacob was able to look back on his life and see that God had been his shepherd all along and that he had been redeemed from the evil that once marked his life. In the story of Ruth, we see God take a family whose name faced extinction and not only restore to them a secure future, but knit them into his grand story of redemption by placing them in Jesus' family line. Jesus lived life was designed to bring us back to the Father, to restore us. He restores sight to the blind, the ability to walk to the cripple, hearing to the deaf, and new and clean the people of those diseases. This is what Jesus did. Jesus restored. He didn't just heal a condition. He restored life, security, and hope to the broken people. He didn't just do something. He did it to restore us back to the way that God designed us to be. Jesus came that we may have life more abundantly. He came to what we lost in the garden. Jesus came to restore all that back. Don't you love it when you lose everything and then you got some insurance that says, okay, since you are covered, since you have paid your premium, since you have been here and you've done the thing that you're supposed to do, we're going to tell you, this is what we're going to do. We're going to restore back everything that you lost. That is a blessing. When they restore everything that you lost. So everything that we lost in the garden, God is restoring everything back. He has the ability to do it. How do I know that? Well, not only have I seen him do it in this word, but I've also seen him do it in my life. I've also seen him do it in other people's life, which lets me know that he is still in business. He's still in business. We serve an awesome God. Great is thy faithfulness. God is good.
And we need to understand that this morning. When God created a woman, he created Eve. He created a woman, a wife, and a mother. Those three things is what's built inside of a woman. That is an awesome, awesome responsibility to be those three. Amen? Don't try to be a man, women. Be what God has designed you to be. Because anytime you go against the nature of God, you ain't going to win it. I'm going to say this. God is undefeated. He has not lost. Because you're not going to change the order of nature. You may attempt to. You may do whatever you can in your little bitty power to do it, which ain't nothing. Let me tell you something. When you get done, God is not going to lose a case.